I'm going to start crying. My friend Molly is here today. So I'm really happy you're here. We love you. Oh, wow. Okay. Whew. So if you're on our church mailing list, you got an email this week that said that we experienced in the service last Sunday 12 supernatural healings. Can somebody give it up for God? Like, wow, wow. If you're not on our church mailing list, it's not too late. You can still get on our church mailing list. Take the connection card that's in your program area and just put, I want to be on the mailing list, and give us your email address and we will add you. And we'll even, if you do that today, we'll even forward the email we sent out last week, because it has them all spelled out, the 12 healings that happened last Sunday. And then we got another one on Facebook added on. Heather experienced a healing Sunday, but she didn't fill out a card. So we're celebrating that. Well, then, if that's not enough, I got an email this week. Jen Matoda, come on up, would you? From, I hope I can find it. I took a picture of it, but you know how that is when you can't find a picture when you're looking for it. Okay, looking for screenshots. Here we go. Not that one. This one. Yes. So I got this. She said, I wrote out my connection card and failed to put it in the box, so I wanted to let you know my story. For 7 years, I have been suffering with fluid and inflammation around my heart called carditis. Thank you. Woo, that was a big one. Okay, I've been under the care of Cleveland Clinic, including surgery, to remove as much fluid as possible. When the ladies around me prayed, I felt a stirring in my heart and felt the pain relieved. When I feel a slight twinge of pain try to return, I speak out loud that I have been healed and I will not accept any pain, and it leaves immediately. It's almost too good to be true, but it's too good to not be true. Woo! Woo! That's from Jen. So do you have anything to add, Jen? Do you have anything you want to add? I can hold this for you.
There was something Sandy said in the sermon, or as we were going through the healing, that really made me stop and think about Jesus really does want to heal me. Mm. When she said Jesus wouldn't rebuke a storm if God sent it, he wants to heal me. And I think I just had to own that and just let it go. I've tried medicine, I've tried really drastically changing my diet, but I hadn't thought about prayer for myself. Mm. I pray for other people. Mm. So until I sought that healing prayer, it had been unrelenting and persistent. So I just want to thank you for doing that for us.
Thank you, God. That's awesome. Give it up one more time. Wow. And here's what I believe. I believe more are continuing to come in. If you received prayer and you don't feel like you got your breakthrough, just keep pressing in. Just keep pressing in for your healing, because I believe it's coming. I really believe God is pouring out his healing power. And so just keep pressing in. Keep believing that God wants to heal you, and just be determined, like, to keep your eyes. Remember, to fix your eyes on the healer, not the pain, not the problem. Fix your eyes on your healer. So I wanted to share that with you. And then also, this was a cool opportunity. We had some of these donated to us. They're beautiful pamphlets that talk about Easter. And then we were able to print our information on the back. So I am asking Ken and somebody to help him pass out two of these per family. Two per family. If you want more, you can take more. But I'm asking every Oak River family to take two of these and use them as a tool to invite someone to church, either on Friday for our Good Friday service from 7 to 8, or to Easter. Go ahead. Yep, go ahead. Thanks. or for our Easter service next Sunday morning at 10:30. The kids are going to have a blast next week. I'm just telling you, it's going to be fun. Plus, we're having a photo booth set up. So if you want family pictures for Easter Sunday, you know how you always want family pictures? We're going to have a photo booth. It's going to be awesome. So it's a great opportunity to invite someone to Oak River and just really let them know that you would love to have them. If you're in, say, I'm in. All right. I love that. Thank you. Thank you very much. And kids, I'm glad you're in here, because there have been so many times when my kids would invite someone to church and they would come if a kid invited them, but they wouldn't come if I invited them. So kids, you have pretty massive influence if you don't even know it. Sometimes you have more influence than you know. So invite someone to church and see if they'll come with you next week. For the kids, it's going to be pancakes and capes and a crazy balloon pit Easter egg hunt. It's going to be so much fun. So it's going to be a really good time. So today I'm continuing the message series on what a savior. Last week we talked about the healer. This week we're talking about the freedom fighter. The freedom fighter. Now, I need to help from the kids. I need the kids to tell me. I need a couple of kids to tell me. Oh, you're ready. I love you, Milesy. Oh, my gosh. I love Miles. Thank you so much. So, Miles, do you know anybody in this whole world who is good at fighting for freedom? I'll help you. Abraham Lincoln, baby. Okay, so because you were first to stand up, you get a gold medal. All right. Oh, Isaac's like, I'm in. Okay, Isaac, I love that. I love it. Okay, and then your turn. Okay, only, that's all we need. Thank you. That's all we need. Okay, who is someone, Isaac, who fights for freedom, who you know that has fought for freedom in this world? George Washington, absolutely. Yeah, give it up. Oh, you can stay. Whoops, sorry, got stuck on your ear. Good job. Okay, do you know any freedom fighters?
Yeah. Flocky.
Who?
Flocky.
How about this one? How about Martin Luther King?
Martin Luther King.
Martin Luther King Jr., woo! Yeah, okay. There you go. You get a bronze medal. All right. Yeah. I love those kids. Oh, my gosh. I love them so much. They're fun. There have been a lot of people in the world who have fought for freedom, right? There's been a lot of people who have fought for us to have freedom. I watched the movie on either Netflix or Amazon Prime. I get them confused. Called Lincoln. Has anybody? Yeah. Ah, it's moving. It is. I hate to recommend it because there's some salty language. So I don't know if I would recommend it in that way. But if you can get past that without losing your salvation, then it's worth watching. I did. I'm still saved. It's a miracle, right? But it's really a good in-depth look at what of some of the people in this country fought for freedom and how they fought for freedom. And so I would recommend it. But today we're going to talk about Jesus being our freedom fighter, because he's the greatest freedom fighter who ever lived. He fought for our freedom, and he continues to fight for our freedom. Okay? And we're going to look at the very first passage that he read when he came out in public ministry. It's found in Luke 4:16-21. Says this. This is the Passion Translation. I think all my passages today are from the Passion Translation. When he came to Nazareth, where he had been raised, he went into the synagogue as he always did on the Sabbath day. When Jesus came to the front to read the scriptures, they handed him the scroll of the prophet Isaiah. He unrolled the scroll and read where it is written, The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and He has anointed me to be hope for the poor, freedom for the brokenhearted, and new eyes for the blind, and to preach to prisoners, you are set free. I have come to share the message of Jubilee, for the time of God's great acceptance has begun. Oh, there's so many good passages, like little words, phrases. After he read this, he rolled up the scroll. I love this part too. It's kind of humorous. Handed it back to the minister and sat down. So he read this and then he sat down. And everybody's like, what up? Oh, you know, I just think that's hysterical. I don't know why. It cracks me up. I can just see him passing the scroll over and sitting down. And they're all like, what? They're all staring at him. Everyone stared at Jesus, wondering what he was about to say. Then he added, these scriptures came true today in front of you. He says, I am the freedom fighter. I am the freedom fighter. I have come. I'm here. Now, that was a direct passage linking that passage to the Messiah. So for hundreds and hundreds of years, when the Jewish people heard that passage, they would automatically think Messiah. They would think Savior. They would think hero. Our hero is here, right? So when he read that and then said, the scripture has come true in front of you today, their minds were like, big time. They're like, wait, what? What did he just say? What did he just say? Did he really just say? Like, their minds were blown. What did he come to set us free from? Number one, he came to set us free from disconnection. He came to set us free from disconnection. I almost put that he came to set us free from religion, because that word religion has some really negative connotations, right? I've used it in a negative way. But I looked up the word religion, and it doesn't mean what I've always been told it means. It doesn't mean man trying to earn his way to God. How many of you have heard that? As I might have even said it in here. I don't know. That's not what it means. It actually means to rebind, to reconnect. So when we say we're not religious, we're saying we're not connected. Oh, that's interesting, right? Now, I'm not talking about going into a set of rules. I don't know what you call that, because I've always called that religion. I don't know what you call that, but it's not freedom. But this is what I know. Jesus came to set us free from disconnection. He came to reconnect us, to reconnect us to the Father. The word message of Jubilee that was in that passage we just read, when the Jewish people heard that message of Jubilee, they knew automatically what that meant, because every 50 years they celebrated the year of Jubilee. And what that meant was land and farmers were released. They only eat what grows naturally. So the farmers took a whole year off of labor so that the land could also rest. So there was nothing grown, only what grew up naturally. The other thing that Jubilee meant was that all slaves were released and set free. In that culture, slavery wasn't going and stealing someone and making them work for you. Slavery happened when someone got so far in debt that they sold their services to someone in order to pay off a debt. They said, I will serve you so that my debt is paid off. Okay? But in the 50th year, even the slaves were set free. Even the debtors were set free. And the third thing was the land was released back to its original owners. So when Jesus said the message of Jubilee has come, it's time to rest. All debts are canceled, and the earth that has been hijacked by the enemy is now being taken back by the Father. It's reverting to its original owner. I love that. Freedom from disconnection. The other thing is the time of God's great acceptance has come. So, freedom from disconnection. We don't have to have God way off in the distance, as Bette Midler sang. We don't have to have that. Instead, we get a God that's up close. Now, this part is going to probably rock somebody's world, and I'm sorry, I hope I don't offend you. But during worship on Thursday morning, we have a little time of worship and prayer on Thursday mornings at 10 a.m. here. And it was really a cool time. There weren't that many people here, but I was just singing and playing at the piano, and we were just worshiping. And God whispered so sweetly in my ear this: I like playing chase and kiss with you. And I went, what? Now, I don't know how many of you ever played chase and kiss on the playground in elementary school, but in first grade, I did. It's a confession. I played chase and kiss. Donna did. Okay. It was the most fun game ever, but kids, don't ever play it because we got in trouble for playing it. So don't play it. Okay. Unless you're playing with God, then it's okay. But in first grade, we played this game called chase and kiss, where the girls would all run and the boys would try to catch the girls. And if the boy caught the girl, he gave her a kiss on the cheek. And then the girls would chase the boys and the same thing. And that was what it's called, chase and kiss. So when God said that to me on Thursday, I imagined him all at once hiking up his robe on the playground, chasing me around so he could catch me and give me a kiss on the cheek. We are free from disconnection. We don't have to have a stuffy God that sits on some throne that we can't have any understanding of. We don't have a relationship with. It doesn't have to be that way. Jesus set us free from that because he told us the time of God's great acceptance has come. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. Not only does he love you, he delights in you. He plays chase and kiss with you. Until your big brother sees you playing chase and kiss, and then he's like, no more of that. That's what happened to me. It really was innocent. It was totally innocent. But I just love that God used something from my history that I hadn't thought about in years. He used it to speak to me something of his relationship with me. Wow, how cool is that? He also came to set us free from brokenness. I love this one so much. Because I don't know if you've lived long enough to know this or not, but we are all broken and none of us can fix ourselves. If you haven't lived long enough to figure it out, you will. That's just life. So everybody say after me, I am broken. I can't fix myself. Okay, but don't stop there. Don't stay broken forever, because Jesus came to set us free from brokenness. He came to set us free. We don't have to remain broken. We get to be healed. We get to be set free of brokenness, because in that passage we read, he talked about hope for the poor. He talked about freedom for the brokenhearted. He talked about new eyes for the blind. And he talked about freedom for prisoners. I love that God doesn't distinguish. I think it's the passage in Jeremiah. It might be Psalm. I'm pretty sure it's Psalm, where it says, God came to set the captives free and the prisoners free. Now think about that. It doesn't matter whether you've been broken or whether you've broken yourself. What matters is that God came to set you free. Whether you've been taken captive by the pain of what somebody else has done, or whether you've been put in prison because of something you've done, God came to set everybody free of that. What a gift. In Luke 4:33-35, it says, in the congregation there was a demonized man who screamed out with a loud voice, "Hey you, go away and leave us alone. I know who you are, Jesus of Nazareth, God's Holy One. Why are you coming to meddle with us? You have come to destroy us already." Just then the demon hurled the man down to the floor in front of them all, but Jesus rebuked the demon, "Be quiet and come out of him." And the demon came out of him without causing any harm. Jesus came to set us free, no matter what our situation is. He made that clear. And this is what occurred to me this week as I read that story. Jesus came to destroy that which destroys us. Jesus came to destroy whatever destroys us. Even the demon recognized it. "Ah, you've come to destroy us." "You got that right, buddy." I love, too, that Jesus didn't go into some kind of, you know, long process of setting the man free, like a 21-step freedom process. Like, I mean, I believe in process, as I shared last week, but I just love that Jesus said, "Be quiet and get out of here." Like, he didn't break a sweat. It wasn't a scene. It wasn't a scene. It wasn't like, "Come on, you know, come on." That's how I've always seen demons freed, you know, or set, get out of people. Like, it's this big, long, sweating, spitting process. And Jesus just goes, "Be quiet, get out of here." I love that. Number three. Jesus came to set us free from sin. Freedom from sin. Matthew 4:17, it says, "From that time on, Jesus began to proclaim his message with these words, 'Keep turning away from your sins and come back to God, for heaven's kingdom realm is now accessible.'" I heard the coolest illustration this week from Georgian Banoff. And he said it like this. He said, "Okay," he said, "imagine this, guys." He said, "Men, imagine this. You've been dating this girl and you're crazy about her. And you've fallen head over heels in love with her. And so you propose to her and you say, 'Will you marry me?' And she says, 'Oh, I would love to marry you. And then after we get married, I will get rid of my 12 boyfriends, like one every year.'" Or something like that. Maybe one every other year. Would you marry her? Not so much. Some of us need to stop dating Jesus and marry him. And stop believing that we can have our boyfriends on the side. Listen, it's not about guilt. It's not about rules. It's about, are you so in love with Jesus that you have the freedom to turn away from sin? Yes, you do. Will you mess up? Of course, we all mess up. But it's not about keeping a boyfriend in the side. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can be set free. Jesus said, "Keep turning away from your sin, baby. You're mine. I love you. I love you. I want to be with you." John 8:34-36 says this. Jesus is talking again. And he says, "I speak eternal truth. When you sin, you are not free. You've become a slave in bondage to your sin, and slaves have no permanent standing in a family like a son does, for a son is part of the family forever. So if the Son sets you free from sin, then become a true sin and be unquestionably free." I don't feel like he was saying, "Thou shalt not." I think he was painting a picture of what life could look like if you're not enslaved to sin. You don't have to live like that anymore. You have a choice. You have a choice. You don't have to have 12 boyfriends on the side. You don't have to live like that. Oh, I could get off on a tangent right now with Sister Wife, but I'm not going to. That show, it intrigues me in a really weird way. I'm like, no, not gonna happen. He is not that good. Sorry, I went on that tangent. I tried not to, but I did anyway. Jesus says, look, I'm enough for you. I'm enough. He makes us happy. He fills us up. He satisfies us. He satisfies us. We can be free from all the gunk. Oh, I love that. I'm so grateful for it. Look, like I said, I mess up. I'm not saying I don't mess up. Jesus said, keep turning away from sin. Just keep turning. When you recognize it, oh, that's sin. Turn away from it. That's it. It's not this big penance thing. It's not this big beating yourself up. It's not that. Just keep turning away from sin and turn towards the Father who loves you. And then last point, number four. This might be my, I always say that. This is one of my favorites. Freedom from the mundane. Freedom from the mundane. We were born for more than getting up, eating breakfast, going to work, coming home, working out, watching TV, going to bed, getting up, eating breakfast, and ad nauseum. We were born for more than that. And when you live like that, you recognize the futility of it all very quickly. Very quickly. And if you don't recognize the futility of it, read Ecclesiastes and then you will. you'll figure it out really fast. In Matthew 4, 18 through 20, it says this. As he was walking by the shore of Galilee, Jesus noticed two fishermen who were brothers. One was nicknamed Simon, later called Peter, and the other was Andrew, his brother. Watching as they were casting their nets into the water, Jesus called out to them and said, come and follow me, and I will transform you into men who catch people for God. Immediately they dropped their nets and left everything behind to follow Jesus. Oh, I love that so much. He says, hey, I have come to set you free from the mundane. You don't have to live a boring existence. You actually get to live an adventure. My life with Jesus has been such an adventure. It has taken some turns I did not see coming, without a doubt. It has taken some interesting highs and some interesting lows, but it has been an adventure. It still is. I love that about God. He comes to set us free from the mundane. We don't have to live without purpose. We get purpose. Here, the disciples, I just find it so amazing that they're busy doing what they do every day. They're fishing for the money. They're fishing for the money. They're fish. That's what they're doing. They're working, just like you and I. You know, they're working. And Jesus walks over and goes, hey, guys, I could help you figure out how to catch people for God. Want to come? They're like, okay, let's go. Let's go. I think he offered them something that their hearts were longing for. I think he said, I have something to give you that makes your life worth living, that makes your existence more than existence. It's not about surviving in this world. It's about thriving in this world. And that's what Jesus does. And I really felt just as strongly this week as I did last week about healing. I feel strongly there are people in this room who need to be set free. That you've been in chains over something. I don't know if it's the mundane or if it's disconnection or if it's brokenness or if it's sin, but it doesn't matter. Jesus comes to set you free. So I'm going to ask us to bow our heads and close our eyes. If you are sitting here today and you know your spirit is stirring because you know Jesus wants to set you free from something, just raise your hand. I'm not going to call you forward. Just raise your hand. Thank you, God. Okay, thank you. God, I thank you for every person who had the courage to raise their hand and say, I'm bound up with something and I just want to be reconnected with Jesus. I want to be reconnected so strongly that those chains fall off. And so I speak freedom into this place right now. Freedom! Freedom! I just thank you for the chains that are falling off of broken hearts right now. For the chains that are falling off minds right now. For the chains that are falling off an attraction to sin. Right now, they're just falling off and just clanging to the floor. I thank you for that, Lord. I thank you that we can live free from those things. We can live free. And so I speak freedom into every person that raised their hand. And I thank you for the miracles that are going to come, just like the healing ones came. The miracles are the testimonies are going to come back of people who are not the same from this day forward. They're not the same. And I thank you for that, Lord. And everybody said, amen. Now, if you raised your hand, here's what I encourage you to do. What did Paul and Silas do when they were bound up in the bottom of the dungeon with chains and stocks on their feet? What did they do? They sang. I encourage you to find as many opportunities as possible to worship. In the shower, in your car, in your living room, in your bedroom. If you need to turn on music, turn on music. If you don't, sing from your heart. Doesn't matter if it's a song you know or if it's a song you're making up as you go along. Just sing. Well, I'm not a singer. Well, then sing where nobody can hear you except you. It's okay. Just sing. And I believe in my heart that you're going to see chains come off when you sing that you have had for many years. They're going to fall off. I felt it so strongly this morning when I was coming and preparing for this. So I encourage you to do that, okay?